Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter and Alice Bryant. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and Anna Mateo will bring us this week's health report. But first, India, Japan, and the United States have sent some of their largest warships and submarines in the Indian Ocean for naval exercises. The yearly exercises have expanded in the past 2 years. They are a sign of deepening military cooperation among the three countries. In recent years, U.S. and other officials have expressed concerns over Chinese activities not just in the South China Sea, but also in the Indian Ocean. The naval operation is the clearest sign of India's growing security ties with the United States. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and U.S. President Donald Trump confirmed those ties during their talks in Washington last month. The week-long exercises, called the Malabar Exercises, began Monday on the high seas. They involve more than 15 warships, including the U.S. Navy's nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS Nimitz. Also taking part are the Indian aircraft carrier INS Vikramaditya and Japan's largest warship, the JS Izumo. The main purpose of the operation is training in anti-submarine warfare. A U.S. embassy statement said, "The exercise has grown in scope and complexity to address the variety of threats to maritime security in the Indo-Asia Pacific." In recent months, the Indian Navy has reported an unusual increase in the number of Chinese naval ships in the Indian Ocean. Military observers say at least 7 Chinese submarines have entered the Indian Ocean since the end of 2013. Observers believe the activity could be a show of force by the Chinese military. Chinese financing and assistance for building ports in Pakistan and Sri Lanka has added to Indian concerns about the Chinese naval sightings. China remains suspicious of the Malabar exercises, notably after they were expanded to include Japan since 2015. The Chinese military believes the exercises are an effort to contain its influence. Earlier this year, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesman said that his country had no objection to normal cooperation between countries. But he added, "We hope that this kind of relationship and cooperation will not be directed against a third country and that it will be conducive to the regional peace and security." The official said the three countries are developing a coordinated approach just to be around in the Indian Ocean to just watch how the Chinese Navy would be unfolding itself in the coming years. During the Indian leader's U.S. visit last month, Trump noted that the security partnership between their countries was incredibly important. Both sides promised to expand maritime security cooperation. India has also come increasingly close to Japan over the past 2 years. During a visit to Tokyo in May, Indian Defense Minister Arun Jaitley said his country is looking to strengthen military cooperation with Japan. but the Indian government rejected a request by Australia to join the naval exercises. As the exercises began, a tense dispute between India and China showed no signs of easing in the Himalaya Mountains. Soldiers from the two countries have been on guard for several weeks. Last month, Indian soldiers blocked a Chinese road-building project in a disputed area between China and Bhutan, a close ally of India. China has repeatedly called on India to withdraw its troops, but so far, both sides have refused to back down.
Officials of a hospital in China say that Nobel Peace Prize winner Liu Xiaobo is too sick to travel to another country to receive treatment for cancer. Liu was recently moved to the first hospital of China Medical University in Shenyang for medical treatment. He was diagnosed with very serious liver cancer in May. Hospital officials say Liu's blood pressure is falling and his stomach is swollen. They say he is suffering from other problems as well. Two foreign doctors, one from the United States and the other from Germany, met with Liu last week. They said on Sunday he could be moved safely to another country for treatment. They said Liu wanted to go to either Germany or the United States. But, they said, the move should happen soon. Since news of Liu's illness was reported, he has been released on medical parole. Rights groups say Liu's wife, Liu Xia, and his family members are permitted to be with him, but are not permitted to speak to news media. Police keep the two under close watch. One rights group based in Hong Kong says the two were being pressured to sign a statement saying they support the decision of Chinese doctors that it is unsafe to move Liu. On Monday, China's foreign ministry asked other countries to, in its words, respect its sovereignty. The ministry added that discussing Liu's treatment overseas represented interference in its internal affairs. Video of Liu and his wife speaking in the hospital has recently appeared on YouTube. Video of the two foreign doctors who met with Liu, Dr. Joseph M. Herman of the University of Texas Anderson Cancer Center and Dr. Markus Buchler of the University of Heidelberg, have also recently appeared on YouTube. Dr. Buchler protested the posting of the video, saying that security officials seem to be controlling the process, not medical experts. The German embassy also protested the video. He said the presence of the videos hurts trust in how officials are dealing with the case. Officials have strengthened security around the hospital in the city of Shenyang. A reporter from The Voice of America and an assistant said they were questioned and followed by men who claimed to be hospital security guards. They did not have identification, however. The VOA reporter was trying to shoot video outside of the hospital in Shenyang. The reporter also said the men then tried to move him and his assistant away from the area by force. Liu Xiaobo received the Nobel Peace Prize in 2010 for his support of nonviolent efforts for human rights. He helped write a petition known as Charter 08, calling for political reform in China. In 2009, however, he was sentenced to 11 years in prison for inciting subversion of state power. He had been in prison since that time until his recent diagnosis with liver cancer. He was then moved to a hospital for treatment. I'm Mario Ritter.
Mobile phones and satellites are becoming valuable farming tools in Pakistan. A new program there uses satellite information to estimate how much water a field needs. The satellite then sends this information by text message to farmers' mobile phones. The program's aim is to prevent the farmers from overwatering crops. A 2013 report from the Asian Development Bank says Pakistan has some of the most severe water problems in the world. The country's water availability is similar to Syria's, where a lack of rainfall has intensified civil war. Pakistan is only able to store water that can last up to 30 days. That is far below the recommended storage amount of 1,000 days. Several issues have led to Pakistan's water crisis. They include climate changes, a growing population, local water mismanagement, and a greater demand on farmers. Many fear the water crisis could weaken relations between Pakistan and India. The two countries share the Indus River. Many older Pakistani farmers received agricultural training several years ago when water was more readily available. They know the risks that come with underwatering crops, but using too much water can reduce crop harvests. The Pakistan Council of Research in Water Resources found that rice farmers were using more than 3 times as much water as they needed. The council asked the Sustainability Satellites Water and Environment Research Group at the University of Washington to get involved. The council wanted the research group to use science to help inform irrigation choices. Pakistan's program started with 700 farmers in the spring of 2016. By January, 10,000 farmers were receiving text messages with a water amount advisory. For example, one message read, "Dear farmer friend, we would like to inform you that the irrigation need for your banana crop was 2 inches during the past week. The messages come from a fully automated system. It uses publicly available satellite information. It also uses models to compute how much water each farmer needs to irrigate. The council plans to expand the program for use across the country and expects millions of farmers to participate. But first, the system must be reviewed. The researchers want to know how easy it is for farmers to use and how many follow the irrigation advisories. They also want to know how accurate it is and whether it saves farmers money. They are collecting responses from farmers over the phone. Faisal Hossein is with the University of Washington. He says he has not seen a report on the results yet. However, the group heard from one farmer in the program who said he was able to get about 700 kilograms more wheat than his neighbor. The farmer said he believes the irrigation advisories made this possible. Expanding the program may be difficult. The council may need to work harder to persuade farmers to trust the technology. Those working on smaller farms may not feel comfortable depending on mobile phone technology. Mobile phones are already very common in Pakistan, however. And last year, the Punjab government announced that it would give out 5 million smartphones to farmers. I'm Alice Bryant.
Fashion Week is a clothing industry event held in several major cities around the world that brings attention to clothing design and products. The cities hold their events at different times of the year. During those weeks, designers and other members of the fashion industry come together in places like Paris, Tokyo, and New York. The events give creative people in those cities a chance to share their culture and new clothing styles with the world. Last week, Senegal's capital, Dakar, held its Fashion Week. One of the biggest events was free to the public, although it showed costly fashion products. The show is called the Street Show. It happens every year in an ordinary neighborhood of the city. Senegalese designer Adama Pari started the Dakar Fashion Week and created the Street Show. She told VOA it is her favorite show of the week because she gets to take fashion back to the streets where, she said, it belongs. The Dakar Fashion Week has been happening for 15 years. Most of its shows are in large, costly hotels, and they often charge people a lot of money to attend. But the street show is open to the public. This year, it was in a neighborhood called Nyari Tali. Activity surrounded the outdoor area where the show took place. Across the street, public buses picked up and dropped off passengers. All around, clothing sellers sold their products. A man named Musa Diouf placed his collection of shoes for sale on a wall next to the stage. A woman named Nicole Colli sold bright cloth from her small store on the street corner. Adama Paris said she loves that the street show can show young people in neighborhoods like Nyari Tali what they might be able to do in the future. For the years coming, I want this show to become more popular because it's important to inspire the young people and come to this street with high fashion, she said. More than 30 designers from 9 countries attended Dakar Fashion Week. 11 of them came to show their work at the street show. A few meters from where the designers and models prepared for the show, local tailor Al-Hassan Diallo watched closely. The 25-year-old said he hoped to learn a lot from the event. I see what is new. I see something that I didn't know about before, Diallo said. Two young women watching from down the street said they love Adama Paris for what she does. One of the two, Marie Bayet, added, Paris could have chosen a nice hotel for this fashion show, but she loves her country. As music played and the show started, children gathered close to the stage and cheered the different clothing designs. The people watching danced along to a French song called Dressed Like Never Before, while the models walked by in gold-colored clothing. Another designer showed unusual clothing that used a wax cloth common in West African clothing. It is most popular among young people in areas like Nyari Tali. This year, 100 models took part in the street parade. That was more than in any previous year. I don't want to just do a cheap or little show, said Paris. She said she planned the Nyari Tali fashion event to be just like any of the more costly ones. I just want to do just exactly what we're doing in fancy places. After the street parade, the fashion stages move to a costly hotel. But for one night, a neighborhood like Nyari Tali has a chance to shine. I'm Pete Musto.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. The health value of a Mediterranean diet is widely known. Fruits, vegetables, and fish are main foods in this diet. Extra virgin olive oil is also a major part of the Mediterranean diet. And new research shows that it may protect the brain from losing its ability to work properly. Researchers at Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania say extra virgin olive oil protects memory and learning ability. Extra virgin olive oil, also called EVOO, can reduce the formation of poisons in the brain that are signs of Alzheimer's disease. But how does it do it? Researchers say olive oil reduces inflammation in the brain. It also activates a cleaning process. This process is called autophagy. Autophagy is when cells break down waste and poisons found between cells and remove them from the body. There are two substances in the brain most closely linked to memory loss in Alzheimer's patients: amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary, or tau, tangles. For definitions of both amyloid plaque and tau tangle, we go to experts at New Jersey's Rutgers University and the U.S.-based Alzheimer's Organization. Amyloid is a protein normally found throughout the body. However, the experts say when amyloid grows abnormally, it creates a sticky buildup called plaque outside the nerve cells or neurons. This abnormal amyloid plaque slowly kills the cells. Tau proteins are common in the central nervous system. Tangles form inside dying neurons. Tangles are twisted fibers of tau protein. Experts from both organizations explain that normally, every neuron contains long fibers made of protein. These proteins hold the neuron in its proper shape. They also help to transport nutrients within the neuron. However, in brains with Alzheimer's disease, these fibers begin to tangle. This causes the neuron to lose its shape. The neuron also becomes unable to transport nutrients. Over time, it dies. Domenico Pratico is the lead researcher of the Temple University study. He says brain cells from mice fed diets enriched with extra virgin olive oil had higher levels of autophagy and lower levels of the poisons, the amyloid plaques and tau tangles. For their study, the researchers looked at mice that had three traits of Alzheimer's: memory loss, amyloid plaques, and tau tangles. They put the mice into two groups. Researchers gave one group a diet with extra virgin olive oil. They gave the other group a diet without EVOO. The olive oil was given to the mice when they were only 6 months old. This was before any symptoms of Alzheimer's had set in. At age 9 months and 12 months, the mice in the olive oil group performed considerably better on tasks that tested the mice's memory and learning ability. And the scientists reported differences in the brain tissues of the two groups. The brains of the olive oil group showed a great increase in nerve cell autophagy. This cell cleaning process is responsible for the lower levels of the poisons we talked about earlier, the amyloid plaques and tau tangles. Pratico says that one thing that stood out immediately was the strength of the synapses. A synapse is the connection between neurons. It is how they communicate. The synapses in the mice on the EVOO diet were stronger than those in the other group. The researchers say their next step is to see what happens to mice who are given olive oil at 12 months. At that time, they will have already begun to show signs of dementia. Pratico says that patients usually have dementia when they visit a doctor to investigate signs of the disease. He says the researchers want to know whether olive oil added at a later time in the diet can stop or reverse the disease. The researchers published their findings online in the Annals of Clinical and Translational Neurology. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.